Oh, the P-39 just happens to be armed with four 50-caliber machine blasters and a 37-millimeter cannon.
Hot pipe!
Hot pipe indeed. If we can find some ammunition for those blasters and these stores, and secure the blasters to the transport wag Clarissa stole...
He pointed to the wag.
We'll be able to rescue Ryan, Christie, and Mildred in style.
Easy say, hard to do.
That's right. You're talking about all of this as if it's as easy as changing around in a blaster.
JB was about to say something to the woman, but was cut off by a wave of Doc's hand.
My dear lady, I believe our albino friend is merely teasing his friend. The fact that what John is proposing is extremely difficult is only more of a reason why he will succeed. I have seen this man do some astounding things with blasters and wags, and I have learned never to doubt his word. I've also seen that look in his eye. This metal bird's big blaster will not only provide the means for him to rescue his friends, but it will also provide him with no small amount of pleasure. There is a light in his eyes, and he is eager to find out what a round from a 37-millimeter cannon can do. And, quite frankly, I am rather curious about that myself. So you see, our weapons expert will not fail. He will succeed, and he will do so gloriously. There is simply no other way.
JB had stood back during Doc's little speech, and now that he was done, the armorer winked and nodded.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, instead of telling the weapons master why something will not work, I suggest you begin opening crates over there and help out in the search for tools and ammunition.
All right, I believe you. Where should I begin?
Open all the crates. Any tools you find, bring them to me.
All right, let's do it.
They began opening the crates and lockers piled on the loading docks, first with their bare hands, and then with hammers and crowbars after Dean found a few of the tools stored in a locker. Soon the boy called out from a corner of the underground garage.
This looks like it might be something useful.
JB stopped his work on freeing the P-39's cannon and walked over to where the boy was hunched over a wooden crate marked with a symbol that looked like an exploding rock. He looked down into the crate over Dean's shoulder, and even though he could only see the base of the shells, he knew exactly what he was looking at.
Those are 37-millimeter cannon shells. Take them out and line them up on the concrete.
Dean began to lift the heavy munitions out of the crate and set them down on the loading dock. Each shell weighed more than a pound, was an inch and a half in diameter, and over 4 inches long. When Dean was done, there were 16 shells lined up in a row, and with the shells gone, the belt that fed them into the cannon was discovered in the bottom of the crate. The armorer picked up a few of the shells, examining their seals and general condition.
They're in good shape. If half of them fire, it'll be more than enough.
John Barrymore, come here!
JB hurried to Doc's side. He was sitting on a pile of smaller crates that had the same stencil mark on them as Dean's crate.
What is it?
A gift.
JB reached into the crate and pulled out a belt of 50-caliber rounds for the P-39's machine blasters. The belt and shell still had an oily sheen on them. He pulled the belt from the crate and began walking the length of the loading dock until the end of the belt appeared, and he could see both ends clearly. Then he placed the belt on the floor and began pacing out its length. It took him 9 steps to get from one end to the other. Finally, he smiled gleefully.
The whole 9 yards.
Doc gave him a confused look.
I'm afraid I do not understand.
The belt is 27 feet long and full of ammunition. It's as much as you can load into one of these machine blasters. In the Pacific arena in World War II, pilots would use the expression, I gave him the whole 9 yards, to say that they used up all their ammunition against the enemy.
Clarissa had come over to join JB and Doc, along with Dean.
How do you know all that?
Doc turned to the woman.
There isn't anything to do with blasters and bullets that JB does not know about. Even the most insignificant and trivial bits of information are stored within his brain, sometimes to the exclusion of other more valuable bits, as we have just been witness to.
JB let Doc ramble on, realizing the old man was just having some fun.
It also means that we'll be able to use 2 of the machine blasters for rescuing Ryan, Christie, and Mildred.
And my sister?
JB nodded.
Yes, and your sister.
That seemed to please Clarissa no end.
Now that we've got the ammunition, let's see if we can get that old bird to give up the blasters.
Christy ate her breakfast in her room under the watchful eye of the heavy sec man who had given her those ridiculous clothes to wear. His gaze never wavered from her body the whole time she was eating, and Christy couldn't be sure if he was doing his job or simply getting an eyeful. She decided that if he was enamored with her, then maybe she could use that to her advantage.
That's a nice blaster you've got there.
She was lying, of course. It looked like a Smith & Wesson Model 18, but the different metal shadings betrayed its status as a remade. It was a .22 caliber rimfire that wasn't good for much more than plinking cans off fence posts, but the burly sec man seemed proud of it.
Thanks. It's been a friend to me.
She then started to unzip the front of her jumpsuit as if she were warm.
I had a Smith & Wesson myself.
Really?
Yes, a .38 caliber Model 640.
Wow, that's a big gun for a...
For a what? For a woman?
For such a pretty one, at least.
A woman's got to protect herself. There are a lot of bad people out in the Deathlands.
I've seen a few of them.
But when they brought me here, they took my blaster from me.
Christy drew the zipper a little lower, exposing her full breasts and closed in a lacy bra.
I know I can't ever have it back, but I've been wondering what they might have done with it.
The sick man started licking his lips.
Oh, it's likely in the armory with the others. They put all the Outlanders' blasters down there. I've seen some of them. Quality stuff.
The other sec men haven't taken them for themselves yet?
Kingsley shook his head.
No. Everything that comes into the farm like that belongs to the Baron. He'll probably have a shooting contest in a few days to see who deserves to have the best blasters. Then the rest of us will upgrade with blasters being used by more senior sec men.
He looked at his remade .22.
Maybe I'll have to give up my crippler for a man-stopper.
Where is the armory?
Down in the basement of this building. It's right next door to the nursery.
And who has the keys to it?
Baron Fox, of course.
Of course.
Sec Chief Grunwald does, too. So does the armory's quartermaster.
And no one else has a key?
Kingsley shrugged.
There might be a few others. The lock's mostly to keep people from wandering into the room by mistake. The door's not all that strong, so if someone really wanted to get in, all they'd have to do is break down the door.
Finished with her information gathering, Christy nodded, sat up straight in her chair, and began zipping up her top.
That was a great breakfast. But the company was best of all. Will you be bringing my lunch?
I could try and get the duty, if you like.
Oh, yes, I'd like that very much.
Consider it done.
See you then.
The sec man smiled as he lingered in the room, finally bumping into the doorframe on his way out. Removing the 37mm cannon from the nose of the P-39 was proving more difficult than JB had thought it would be. The engine was behind the pilot seat and drove the propeller by way of a long extension shaft. That allowed the nose of the aircraft to house the cannon, firing directly through the propeller hub, along with a pair of 50 caliber machine blasters sitting in the top part of the nose. The blasters had been easy to take out, but the gearing and shaft driving the engine proved to be an obstacle to the removal of the cannon.
How's it coming, JB?
I don't think we're going to be raiding the farm tonight, Doc.
Jack came up alongside Doc.
Stubborn.
That's a good word for it.
Doc rested an arm on the plane's wing.
Is there anything we can do to help?
Something to eat would be nice, and a warm cup of coffee.
Doc, Jack, and Dean all turned to look at Clarissa.
Are you boys good with those blasters?
Must you ask?
Okay, then. Do you like fish?
Haven't had any for a while.
Well, there's a spot below the falls where you might be able to shoot some for dinner.
Shooting fish in a barrel?
Something like that.
Doc stays with me, though. You two go with her. We'll need enough to get us through today and tomorrow.
Jack and Dean followed Clarissa out of the underground garage.
And Jack, I don't want to hear anything about the ones that got away.
Jack smiled and unholstered his Colt Python.
No worry. Fish not escape.
Without Purvis looking over the crew, work in the orchards was almost pleasant for Ryan and Brody. They were pulling weeds again, but no one was pushing them hard, since most everyone's thoughts were on the afternoon's contest. At morning break, the dark-skinned man Mildred knew as Eric approached Ryan, standing over him and Brody as they drank some much-needed water.
I know what you did to Purvis.
Ryan's guard immediately went up.
Was he a friend of yours?
No, sir. He was no friend of anyone on this crew, especially not to